Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And He, this is Jesus Christ, He spake this parable unto certain, look at this, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. The audience, the group that was hearing Christ teach this parable was a group of folks that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And then it makes this comment. And this crowd, it says, and despised others. What a haughty attitude. What an un-Christ-like spirit. This group despised others. Well, what did Jesus say to this group? Jesus said in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the publican, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The title of this morning's sermon, the message, the title is A Decent Devil. A Decent Devil. Really? That's the title. That's really the title. A Decent Devil. You know, not all devils on the surface, not all devils on the surface seem to be so ugly. They don't seem to be all that repulsive. There are some devils that somehow seem to make a pretty good impression. They don't seem all that bad. It's the same with these decent sins. Decent sins, yeah. These white-collar sins, these respectable sins. They just don't seem to be so bad. And these sins that somehow we label as being decent, they're often the most dangerous because they don't shock us with just how ugly the sin is. Somehow, certain sins seem to charm us with their beauty. They don't seem to be bitter enemies. They seem to be attractive friends. This passage right here has a very ugly sin in it. A lot of folks don't believe it's that ugly. In fact, the sin in this passage, some people view this sin with a little more approval than disapproval. In fact, some people think that the sin in this passage is a little more of an asset. It's a little more of an asset than a liability. That's what a lot of people think. What sin is it? The sin of pride. The sin of pride is in this passage. The sin of pride. You know, we get all confused about pride. We don't mean to be confused about it, but we get confused about it. And we confuse each other. We confuse our children. We say, boy, don't you have a little pride in yourself? Get up and clean your room. We use the word pride. Men say that to one another in the community. Oh, you ought to have some pride in yourself. Get out of that bed and go out there and work a job and provide for your family. Don't you have any pride about yourself? We use the word pride like that, don't we? In studying for this sermon, I just kept finding myself saying, I'm so proud of this. I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud. We use the word pride all the time, and I'm so proud. I'm so proud. We don't mean to get things all confused. But let me read you some scripture about pride. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
Listen, Proverbs 6:16. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. The first one on the list, a proud look. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4:16. Wherefore he saith, listen, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So why are we so confused? What are we confused with? We confuse pride with respect. We confuse pride with respect. Now in the Bible, respect absolutely has a premium put upon it. Everybody ought to respect God. Amen to that. No light talk about the Lord. No taking God's name in vain. Amen to these things. Respecting the Lord. Not speaking lightly of Him. Not speaking flippantly of the Lord. No, we revere, we respect the Lord. Yes, and we're supposed to respect each other. And we ought to have some self-respect. In fact, in the Bible puts such a premium on self-respect. Listen to a little bit. Paul writes to young Timothy, I'm so glad that all the young men and young ladies, the millennials and young people, teenagers in this room. Hey, Paul, the older preacher, wrote to the younger preacher. Paul wrote to young Timothy and said this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul said, Timothy, have some respect for God and have some self-respect that you are a Christian and let your light shine and be an example. Have some respect, Timothy. How about Joseph in the Bible? Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery. His brothers were envious of him. Envy is a terrible sin. Terrible sin. Joseph's brothers were envious of him and eaten up with jealousy. They finally sold their brother and told lies to their father about it. And Joseph was taken as a slave. You know, there's more slavery in the world today than there ever has been. Joseph was a slave. He goes down there, and there's a lady who tried to get him to commit immorality. The scripture says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And this lady tried to get young Joseph to commit immorality. And you know what Joseph did? You know what Joseph said? Joseph said, can I do this great evil and sin against God? And man, Joseph got out of there. He fled. Hallelujah. Run, man, run. Why? Because you've got some respect for God. And because you've got some respect for who you are. You're a Christian. You are a believer. I cannot do that. I have too much respect for God. I have too much respect that I'm a believer. I can't do that sin. No, we have respect. It's not pride. It's not pride. What is pride? Is pride self-respect? No, 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 no. Pride is self-conceit. Pride is self-conceit. Now, I'm from the state of Virginia. I like my state of Virginia. Yeah. UVA. Years ago, our basketball team in Virginia, we were undefeated. We had a man named Ralph Sampson, over 7 foot tall. And he and UVA just could not be beaten. Undefeated, ranked number one. And on the schedule comes out. Okay, we're playing this team, that team. Okay, and it came time to go play this team in Hawaii. Who are these people? Are they ranked? No, we've never heard of them. They're not even ranked. We're going down there. We're going to kill them. Yeah. You know what happened? UVA became so overconfident and so proud. You know what happened? They went down there and lost. Ralph Sampson, I saw him this year. They're still talking about that loss. Why'd you lose? Pride, he said. So we were so overconfident. Listen, pride is not smart, friends. Pride is not the right way. Do you agree with that? Pride is not the way. It's not Jesus' way. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Do you remember at the Lord's Supper? Do you remember one of the things that took place at the Lord's Supper? Jesus washed. He washed the disciples' feet. That's not proud, friends. That's humility. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, we don't do that in pride. The church goes forward on our knees. Amen to that. With humility. Oh, yes, if you want to please the Lord, you go forward with humility. A few comments. Number one, pride is not smart. It's not smart. Point number one, pride is not smart. In this passage, the Pharisee prayed a lofty prayer. Look at it in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Look at his prayer. Look at it, verse 11. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners. Well, praise the Lord. It's right to be honest. It's a terrible thing to be an extortioner. Next, unjust. He said, I'm fair with everyone. It's right to treat people fairly. He said, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. Adulterers. He said, I'm a clean man. When it comes to my morals, I'm clean. Unjust, adulterers, and then look at this prideful statement in his prayer. Or even as this publican. Do you see how he despises others? Was his prayer a success? No, it was a total failure. His pride caused his prayer to be nothing but a failure. He failed. He failed. Pride, number one, is not smart. It's not smart. This man, he's not praising God for His goodness. He's not thanking God for the rain and the sunshine. He's not thanking God for God's blessings. No, in his pride, all he does is brag on himself. And his prayer was nothing but a failure. Well, number one, pride's not smart. Number two, pride leads to failure. It leads to failure. Number three, pride is cruel. Pride is cruel. Pride is harsh in its judgments. Oh, it's so harsh. You know, in pride, when we're filled with pride, we're constantly searching for what's wrong with others. And we're looking for the worst instead of the best. And this Pharisee, in his prayer, he said, I'm glad I'm not as that guy. Pride is harsh in its conduct. Pride says, I'm always right. Pride says, I will not apologize. You know, it's hard for men to say what I'm about to say. It's hard for us men to say these words. I was wrong. That's very hard for a man to say. The other day, it was discovered that I'd done something. I'd quoted something. I can't remember what exactly it was right this moment. But I said to the secretary, I said, I'm going to say something that's very hard for a man to say. I was wrong. I got that wrong. Hey, let's all try to say those words. I was wrong. Ready? Begin. I was wrong. Hey, here's some words. I'm sorry. Let's try them. Ready? Begin. I'm sorry. Hey, here's some more. Please forgive me. Ready? Please forgive me. That goes right against pride, doesn't it? But all of us have done wrong. All of us are sinners. The best of men are just men at best. This little Pharisee, oh, I'm glad he's tithing. I believe every Christian ought to tithe. Glad he's fasting. That's good. But his prayer was a failure. Pride got his way. Pride's not smart. Pride leads to failure. Pride is cruel. You don't want to forgive. When you're proud, you say, I've got privileges that no one else has. When you're proud, you say, if anything bad happens, it must be somebody else's fault. How many of you would like to have God's blessings on you and your family? Okay, put me in that category. How many of you would like to have some happiness in your home? Yes! Okay. The Bible says Jesus preached this. Jesus preached this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You want God's blessings? You want to be happy? Be poor in spirit. Filled with pride? Being filled with pride will always lead to unhappiness, to unsatisfaction. And may I simply say that pride shuts the door on fellowship with God. Oh, so, well, I don't want to be proud. Amen. See, just contrast to this Pharisee, there was a publican. Oh, what's the contrast? Well, the Pharisee, he's decent, he's respectable, he's got a clean life, he's paying his bills, he's paying his tithe, all those good things. Yeah, but it was the publican who had a successful prayer. The publican, who was it? He is an old renegade. He is an old outcast. But he's the one that got justified that day. Hallelujah. He humbled his heart. You want to get God's attention? Humble yourselves. I was out door knocking January a year ago. January a year ago, I was out door knocking. I was in South Carolina. And I had the pastor of the church. He and I were together. David Shoemaker is the pastor. And David Shoemaker and I, we're out soul winning, trying to win folk to Christ. And we're out door knocking. Came to a door in Taylor's, South Carolina. Knocked on this door in Taylor, South Carolina. My name is Byron Fox. This is Pastor David Shoemaker. We're out telling folks about the Lord. Here's an 81-year-old man said, well, I'm Harold Leek. Harold Leek. Sir, are you the man that years ago wrote that song, Excuses, Excuses, You Hear Them Every Day? How many of y'all know that song? Yeah, I know that song. Got gospel singing today at 2, you know. That song would work perfect if we had it. Said, hey, are you the fellow who wrote that song? He goes, well, yes, I wrote that song about 60 years ago. Really? We went inside with this mountain preacher named Harold Leek. We got inside there. And here he is, 81 years old. He wrote the song 50-some years ago. I said 60. 50-some years ago he wrote the song. I said, well, sir, I'm a music publisher, all that sort of thing. I like stories behind songs, all that. I said, rather than tell me how you wrote the song, I said, would you tell me how you came to Christ? He said, oh, Brother Fox, I'd love to tell you how I got saved. He said, I was a 20-year-old boy working over there at the grocery store, and we had a butcher. Oh, Brother Fox, this butcher was a good butcher. Oh, he was good at what he did, except he was a drunkard. And he would go out and he would get drunk and then he'd miss work. And we'd fire him. But he was such a good butcher, we'd hire him back. And he'd do pretty good for a few days and then he'd get fired again. And we'd hire him back and fired. He said, I was 20 watching all this. He said, one Monday morning, The butcher came in with a big old white family Bible under his arm. I said, isn't that cute? He's got religion now. The butcher, the drunkard, got religion. Isn't that cute? Lunchtime came around and the butcher said, hey, Harold, read me some of this book. And he handed him the Bible. Harold said, I'd never read a Bible before. I'd never opened a Bible. I'd never been to church. And you see, the butcher couldn't read. And he had asked me to read him the Bible. And said, I was looking through here and trying to find something to read. And he said, I found a section on how to get a job. Some of y'all still need to get that. Yeah. This is what Harold Leek told me. He said, so I started and I read him some. Next day, said the butcher at lunchtime, said, hey, Harold, read me some of this book. Third day, hey, Harold, read me some of this book. Day four, Harold, read me some of this book. Day five, six, 10, 15, 17. Harold said, I was 20 years old and I began to notice something. This butcher hasn't cussed again. He hadn't cussed in 3 weeks. He's not gotten drunk in 3 weeks. This man really is different. You know, when you get saved, you do become a new creature. If you got born again. And this drunk butcher now is a Christian. And he's got young Harold Leek, a 20-year-old grocery store worker, reading the Bible to him every day. They're reading through the book of Luke. They read the book of Luke. They read chapter 18 that we've just read a portion of. And you know what? Harold said in that day, I said, butcher man, I want to get saved just like you're saved. He said, butcher man, how do you get saved? Butcher man's been saved 3 weeks now. Butcher man said, I don't know. Remember back when you first got saved, how much did you know? He said, I don't know. He said, let me think, what did I do to get saved? And they began to remember what they had just read in the scripture. And the butcher man said, hey, why don't we try that prayer that man just said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, let's get on our knees and let's try that and see if that'll work. And Harold Leek said, Brother Fox, I went down on my knees, lost. He said, Brother Fox, that prayer works. He said, I got born again that day. Woo! Harold became a mountain preacher. He wrote that little song, Excuses. God used that song to fund him as an evangelist. And all these days, all these years, Harold Leek's been preaching for the Lord. It was that little prayer that publican, that old outcast, that old renegade, that's what he used to pray to get saved. I wonder if you're saved today. This past week, I went and saw a man. His wife is 73 years old. She's on hospice care. She's 73. She knows it's not going to be long. Her husband was right beside her. Other family members. I called the lady's name. I said, what can I pray for you? What's your prayer request? She said, I want God to use me passing away to bring all of my family to Jesus. I looked to her husband. I called him by name. I said, sir, are you saved? He's not saved. I said, sir, let me explain to you how man gets saved. And I went through the gospel. I said, you just heard your wife's prayer request. I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? He said, no. What stops a man from getting saved? The bottom line, pride.